The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in his house to worship. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to encounter our Lord and Savior this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Mark, for opening music today. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house on this final Sunday in May. May the Holy Spirit of God move in our worship hour this morning. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship today. I encourage you to fill out a visitor's card and drop it off at the offering plate following the worship service this morning. For those that are watching online this morning on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us this morning. I do want to remind you, you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up the worship bulletin and use that as a resource for our hour of worship this day. Of course, you can also use that bulletin as a resource for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you are a first-time viewer online, I encourage you to send me an email this week and let me follow up and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. As you look at our bulletin this morning, I do want to remind everybody there are no afternoon ministries today. However, looking ahead to next week, to next Sunday, I want to remind our ministry teams that we do have church council next Sunday at 4 p.m. Just a reminder to our ministry teams to make sure there's a representative from each of our ministry teams present at that meeting next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Hopefully you received the newsletter for the month of June that was sent out earlier this week. Make special note of all the things that are listed in the newsletter. You can also pick a copy of that newsletter up in the church foyer today if you would like to. During the months of June and July, we do have two mission in gatherings that will be taking place. The first I want to remind you about is our annual collection for Camp Green Leaves. That will be taking place during the month of June and early July. Camp Green Leaves will be meeting June 15th through July 17th this summer. And items are needed. They're listed in your bulletin today. I do want to point out one special note about the snacks that you pick up when you go to the grocery store. Please make sure you do not pick up any items that have peanuts or peanut butter in them because of food allergies at the camp. That just makes it a lot easier for Camp Green Leaves and the staff to go through. So when you pick up those items, of course, you can drop them off in the communication center or upstairs in the fellowship hall. The second collection going on during the month of June is for our FBC Elon Food Pantry. Of course, that's an ongoing collection that we have going on here at the church. Specific items that we need right now include ramen noodles, SpaghettiOs, canned tomato, canned sauce, canned chicken, and cleaning supplies. And of course, those items can be dropped off downstairs. They can also be dropped off upstairs at the food pantry. I also want to make one special announcement, one celebration announcement. We have a new addition to our church family. Born yesterday at 10:36 a.m., Peyton Elizabeth Coble came into the world yesterday on Saturday, May 30th, weighing 7 pounds, 2 ounces, and a length of 20.25 inches long. I can tell you Daniel and Maria are over the moon with their new arrival, and baby sister is excited as well. But I was texting back and forth with Daniel yesterday and this morning as well. But it looks like they will be able to come home from the hospital by around noon today. So be in prayer for them as they return home and the household becomes new again to them. But be in prayer for them. They are thankful for all the prayers during this time and as they celebrate as a family. So we lift them up in prayer today. Now as we gather here today, may the words we lift in prayer and praise be pleasing to our God this morning.
Our first hymn this morning is Praise Him, Praise Him. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you.
Scripture reading is Psalm 113. Listen to these words this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you His servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with the princes of His people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. We gather here to praise the Lord in all that we do, in the thoughts that we have, in the words that we speak, and the prayers that we lift. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, we gather together in Your name. We come as living sacrifices to offer You our worship and thanksgiving, our praise and our prayers. Come among us, living Lord, through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Transform our hearts and minds so that we may recognize Your presence, hear Your voice, know Your will, and walk in Your way. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Looks like you got two crippled people up here. One struggling and another one struggling. And our offertory hymn this morning is Come All Christians Be Committed. Let's stand and sing together. Our senior adult trip on June the 23rd at 8:30 a.m. We are leaving to go to Spring Valley Restaurant there in Greensboro for breakfast. And then after we finish breakfast that morning, we're traveling on up the road just a few blocks, and we're going to the Greensboro History Museum. And I've heard that if you've never been, it is something to see. I've never been there, so I'm looking forward to it. But they said the history and the things that you will learn just going to that museum is amazing. So mark your calendars for June the 23rd at 8:30 a.m. And sign-up sheets are in the Sunday school classrooms or in the foyer. And so we'd love for you to go and join us that day. And our offertory prayer, I'll call on Paula Harrison.
Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come here today as a church family. Thank you for all the opportunities you give us throughout the week to witness for you. Please bless this offering this morning and help us to use it to your glory in this world. Amen.
Hold on 1 second. I forgot to do this.
Thank you.
choir for our special music today. Would you once again join me in prayer before we encounter God's word this morning? Pray with me. Holy Jesus, you call us to a life that others have told us is easy, but it is not. You challenge us to forgive, to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us. We want the easy way, but you have given us the hard path. Grant us the patience and endurance to journey with you, to allow ourselves at times to stumble, to live into the hard way so that we might fully experience your love, grace, and peace in this world by becoming a people full of love and grace and forgiving others. In your name we pray this morning. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon on this final Sunday in the month of May. I pray that the Spirit has moved you in this hour of worship already, and I pray that His word and my words will do the same for you today. The class was Christian Counseling. The professor, Dr. Al Myberg. The school, Campbell University Divinity School. The Christian Counseling class was a required class that all Divinity School students had to take and pass to receive their diplomas. Dr. Myberg was the instructor, and he came with a reputation. A skilled lecturer, Dr. Myberg had taught for over 40 years at certain schools, several schools in fact, and he was finishing out his career at Campbell Divinity. Dr. Myberg was a professor of detail and discipline, always arriving in the classroom right as the class was supposed to start. When he walked into the classroom, he wore a three-piece suit. His suit was pressed with no wrinkles, a pocket square in his coat, every hair in place, one single leather briefcase in hand, and as soon as he walked to the table up front, he dropped his leather briefcase on the table, and he immediately started lecturing. When he sat, on the rare occasion that he sat, his back was straight as an arrow. When he stood up, you knew we had to be at attention. We better be taking notes, or without a doubt, he was going to call your name. Dr. Myberg was the class you had to take. It was not the class that you wanted to take. On the second week of class, Dr. Myberg assigned a group project. Two and three students were given a topic to cover, and the next week we were supposed to return to class and present it to the rest of the students. So we worked diligently that week, and the next week we returned to class to give our presentations. As we arrived at class that day, we were all busy talking in advance and being ready to say the right words at the right time and knowing who was doing what. However, what didn't happen that day was Dr. Myberg showing up to class on time. The hour struck, and there was no Dr. Myberg. 1 minute passed, still no Dr. Myberg. 2 minutes passed. 3 minutes passed. 4 minutes passed. 5 minutes passed. And we began that conversation that all take place in all college classes. How long do you have to stay in class? When it's a doctor, what kind of degree did he have? How long per degree did he have a PhD? How many degrees did he have? Is 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? How long do you have to stay in class for a professor who's been teaching for 40 years? I guess we'd had to stay the whole class. At 7 minutes past the hour, Dr. Myberg walked into class, but this wasn't the Dr. Myberg that we knew. Because this Dr. Myberg walked in with a shirt half untucked, no pocket square in his coat, a tie that was half undone, barely hanging around his neck, his hair ruffled, and he plopped his leather briefcase on the table. He sat in the professor's chair up front, leaned back, and called for the first group to come and present. That first group barely got through their presentation, and he called for the second group up. And as the second group presented through that entire presentation, Dr. Myberg closed his eyes and pretended to take a nap. The third group presented, and during the third presentation, he pulled a book out of his bag and pretended to read a chapter as they presented. As the fourth group presented, he rocked in his chair like he was an old man, rocking the day away. As the final group presented their presentation, and he said, "Great job to everyone," he stood up to attention, straight as an arrow like we were used to, and he said, "Well, everybody gets 100, and we were all relieved because we thought we had done something wrong. And he said, "Let's get down to what the real lesson is today." Remember, this was a Christian counseling class. And he said, "The story or the lesson for today is all about body language." He said, "What did you think about as I was doing all these things that you weren't used to as you were presenting to me? What did these lessons teach you? My mumbling, my actions, my lackadaisical presentation to you." Dr. Myberg was showing how body language can speak a much louder message than any words that could come out of our mouths. And he said, "When we sit across from someone who are pouring out their souls to you, that are going through difficult times, what may speak louder than anything that you say is how you approach them with your body." How about you? How about you? Have you mastered body language? Have you mastered the art and language of talking with your bodies? You might say, "No, I don't do that. If I talk to your family members and your closest friends, I can guarantee you that they can tell me what your body language speaks to them." But what about God? What about God? Have you ever thought about how your body language sends a clear and powerful message to God when you gather for worship in this place every Sunday morning? What message are you sending to God by your body language today? I noticed when I started talking about body language, everybody sat up a little bit straighter. Everybody's leaning a little bit more forward. Have you ever thought about that? This morning, let's look a little bit about what Scripture says about body language and what it says about being a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 10 this morning. As you turn to this passage this morning that Paul wrote to the Christian church at Rome, I want to remind you that at this point in Paul's ministry, he had not visited this church in Rome. His hope was to visit this church shortly later in his ministry and to possibly use this church site as a mission base as he sought to carry the message of Christ further west into Spain. So Paul was speaking to a church that did not know him very well. They knew him a little bit, and he was trying to establish his, I guess we would call it, his credibility with this congregation. Now, to do this, Paul focused on one important aspect for the early church and for us today, and that is how we worship and using God's gifts to spread the message of Christ. Reading Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 10 this morning. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgments, in accordance with the faith God has tribute to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. This morning, our focus is primarily going to be on those first two verses of chapter 2. Many scholars have said these two verses are as theologically dense as any other passage of Scripture penned by Paul in the entire New Testament. In this opening verse, Paul pleads for these new Christians to offer their bodies, their entire selves, as living sacrifices for God. This is basically Paul talking about the way we're supposed to carry ourselves before God, to have good body language. This is their spiritual act of worship. In 2026, we are called to do the exact same thing. So what does this look like for us today? What does it mean to be a living sacrifice today? What does it mean to have good body language to God today? And I think the very first way to be a living sacrifice, to have good body language, is to free ourselves in the very act of prayer. Now, you might notice in our worship service on Sunday mornings, we have at least four spoken prayers. The invocation, including the Lord's Prayer, the offertory prayer, the confessional prayer prior to the sermon, and the committal prayer following the sermon. Now, you might think for a one-hour sermon, that sure is a lot of praying. But I want to ask you this morning, how do you prepare yourself for those times of prayer? Do you prepare yourself for them? Do you just listen to the words being spoken by myself or one of our deacons? Or are you freeing yourself for the Holy Spirit to speak and move through you? When we make ourselves a living sacrifice, we are surrendering our will, our all, to our God who wants to speak and move in us. There is nothing freer than feeling the Spirit move in a time of prayer. Ruth Haley Barton, in the book Sacred Rhythms, describes this freedom this way. Intimacy happens as we bring more and more of ourselves into God's presence. To pray with soul and body means praying with all of who we are, our physicality, our emotions, our institutions, our imaginations, our minds, and all of our experiences. Therefore, when we pray with body and soul, or love with body or soul, or belong with body and soul, we are believing, responding, surrendering with all of who we are. So prepare yourself in these moments of prayers. Free yourself for the Spirit to move when we pray in worship. Be that living sacrifice. Have that positive body language. But that's not all. The second way to be a living sacrifice, the second way to have positive body language, is to be moved to action by the hymns and the music in which we sing. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that the one person that Gay does not want sitting back here is me, because I can throw an entire choir off by my tune that I carry. I will tell you that when I open myself up to be a living sacrifice by the music that we sing, that when the music grabs hold of me and starts shaping and challenging me, it's not telling me to sing louder. It's not telling me to join the choir, but listening to the words and becoming a part of the testimony of their lyrics, that's something different. You may see my foot tapping, or you may see me close my eyes. And yes, I may sing a little bit louder over here, but the message of the hymns is challenging me to live a life of purpose and love. And you might say, well, do that every Sunday, but do you really? I would encourage you one Sunday, next Sunday, as a matter of fact, I would encourage you one Sunday to read the words to the lyrics on the back of your bulletin prior to the worship hour. We send out the bulletin on Thursday in our regular email. Whether you get that email or not, read it in advance or pick up the bulletin on Sunday morning prior to the worship hour. Really read the words. And you might look at the worship service and you say, well, David, I've sung these hymns for decades. I don't need to read them. I know what these words are. Like scripture familiarity, which I talked about a couple weeks ago, the same can be true with hymn familiarity. Really read the words. Digest the words. Embody the words. Then, when you come to the worship hour and sing them in worship, allow the text to pour over you. How is God challenging you with the text? What is the Spirit guiding you to do? When we open ourselves to be living sacrifices like Paul challenged the Romans here, we are challenging ourselves, and God will be challenging you to be a doer, not just a beer. He will speak if you listen. And I guarantee you he'll speak to the words of those lyrics on the back of the bulletin. And I can testify to this, and Gay will as well. Janice works really hard on making sure the words are right on the back of the bulletin. She does as well. And it's not just done for just an innate just to get it done. It's done for a reason. Read it. Live it. Listen to it. In a Fortress Press article in 2019 titled Practicing Our Faith, A Way of Life for a Searching People, and that's who we're called to be, the article says this: as the place where the divine presence dwells, our bodies are worthy of care and blessing. It is through our bodies that we participate in God's activity in the world. And that starting point can be worship. It can be right here when we sing our closing hymn, or when we sing our opening hymn, or when the choir just sang their special, if we allow it to be. Prepare yourselves in these moments of singing. Be moved by the lyrics on the hymns as we're guided by the Spirit. Be that living sacrifice. But that's not all. Finally, the third way to be a living sacrifice, the third way to have a positive body language, is to be changed by God's word. Often we speak of the Bible, we speak of God's word as a guidebook for our lives. Now, I agree with this statement, but I do not think it goes far enough. Let's take, for example, another guidebook, a map. Now, I know a map is old school. When we want to get somewhere today, and we want to get from destination A to destination B, you just plug it in your GPS, you pull out your phone, and you just type it in, and it gives you directions, right? How many of you use this? Raise your hand. For all of you that don't raise your hands, you need to talk to somebody who raised their hand to teach you how to, that's the best way to do it. You don't need to go get a map. But anyway, let's talk about the map. In the old days, when you needed to get from one destination to the other, you got a map, you pulled it out to help you get from where you needed to go, right? But as soon as you got to where you needed to go, what did you do with that map? You folded it up, you put it back in your glove box or in your door frame of your car, and you didn't pull it out again until you needed it. See, this is the problem with that analogy of the Bible just being a guidebook, because a map is a guidebook. But we're never called to put God's word away. God's word, the Bible, is more than a guidebook. God's word shapes and moves us. It is constantly working on us and challenging us to be better. And when we open this book up on Sunday mornings, the lessons that it speaks go far beyond the 10 or so minutes when we're literally reading it. It should be constantly shaping you through the rest of the day, this week, even leading into next week. Now, you might be saying, well, David, aren't you putting the Bible up on a pedestal here to worship? No, I am not. We should never worship the Bible. And if you ever hear somebody say that you should be worshiping the Bible, they're wrong. because this book is not to be worshipped. God is to be worshipped, and God gave us the Bible to study it, but that book should never be worshipped. And if you believe that, come, let's have a little conversation in my office. It's not to be worshipped. God is to be worshipped, not the Bible, okay? But listen, God gave us this book to guide and draw us closer to Him. And when we read that book, it gives us guidance and it shapes us and it helps mold us. And when we open the Bible on Sunday mornings for worship, we're preparing ourselves for how the Spirit is going to speak to us. Are you ready for the Spirit to move in you? Are you reading the passage in advance of the worship hour? Most of the time, almost all the time, I provide in advance on the monthly newsletter what the scripture passage is going to be for that Sunday. Are you reading it in advance? Are you doing the due diligence of preparing yourself to be shaped and moved by it? This is what Christ wanted. This is why Jesus Christ came, to move and to shape us. To shape and move us into the living sacrifices that we're called to be. In the book, The Story of Civilization, Caesar and Christ, Will Durant made an interesting analogy as he compared the approaches to changing the world, as he compared Julius Caesar to Jesus Christ. He said this quote, which has been chewing on it for quite a bit of time. He said this: Julius Caesar hoped to reform men by changing institutions and laws. However, Jesus Christ wished to remake institution and lessons and laws by changing men. That's the difference. And that's what God's word can do. Through the moving of the Spirit, we can be changed. And that's why Christ came. That is what He wants to do when we open ourselves up, when we change our body language and direct it to Him, to be living sacrifices for Him. As we close this morning, I want to challenge you about your body language. Be living sacrifices for our God. Paul made the challenge to the Romans 2,000 years ago. I make the same challenge to First Baptist Elon on May 31st, 2026. If you're not sure where to start, let me encourage you to free yourself in the act of praying. Allow the lyrics and the music that we sing move you to action. Allow God's word to change and to mold you. And that's just the beginning. Wait and see how the Spirit will move you, because it will. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful that You've called each and every one of us to be a living sacrifice for You. I'm so thankful that You've given us the ability to come to this place and to worship in this hour and to be moved and changed. I'm thankful for the privilege it is to pray, and how in that moment of prayer that we can have positive body language, and that we can become living sacrifices when we free ourselves up in this communication with You. I'm thankful for the ability to sing and to pour over the text of these beautiful hymns and songs that have existed for so many years, but that still continue to speak to us and that challenge us to be Your servants in this world. And I'm so thankful that You've given us a book, your book, Your word, to speak to us through the moving of the Holy Spirit, to change us, to form us, to mold us into the individuals that You want us to be. Father, we come to You this day as living sacrifices for You. Amen. As we come to our time of closing today, maybe today for the first time you recognize that you need to give your life to the one who made the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you're ready to make that decision this morning, I'll be down front. Come and I'll embrace you as a brother in Christ. Maybe you're seeking to join a church family that seeks to honor God as making living sacrifices daily, being living sacrifices for Him. I'll come down front and I'll share what our church is all about. Or maybe you just need to pour a a prayer to God, whether it's in your seats or here at the altar. This is God's altar. It's always open. A deacon will pray with you. I'll pray with you. Whatever needs to be, whatever decision you need to make today, make it today. Don't put it off as we come and stand and sing our closing hymn. As we leave this place today, we go out into a world that needs to see those living sacrifices. I pray that you will be that in the world that we go. Go in peace and be that model for others. Go in peace.